Hi, this is Ken Kennedy. This is Kenzo's Autonomous Zone, episode 215, recorded on Friday, August 24th, 2018, and part of the 2018 Dog Days of Podcasting Challenge. Today I am talking about a game. It's a two-player game called Android Netrunner. It is a two-player game. It is a living card game by Fantasy Flight. It's based on an earlier card game called Netrunner by Wizards of the Coast, which is actually made by Richard Garfield, the same guy who created Magic the Gathering. There are some different. One of the big differences between the two games is Netrunner is a collectible card game, just like Magic, and Android Netrunner is a living card. Like I said, living card game, like a lot of Fantasy Flight games. The difference is when you're not buying randomized booster packs. If you're with Netrunner, you get a bunch of cards, and that's enough cards to play the game, and you have a set. And if you go out and buy further sets, they are sets of known cards. You're just getting, in effect, an expansion. You know exactly what you're getting, and everyone who gets that expansion gets the exact same thing. Whereas with collectible card games, you're getting a randomized hand of cards, so you may get really good cards, you may get a whole bunch of boring cards, etc. So I like living card games. They, you know, you don't get, you know, there isn't the, ooh, I wonder what I'm going to get. And then there's also not the secondary market stuff that you get with a collectible card game. You know, the bigger the game, the bigger the secondary market is going to be. Obviously, you know, Magic's got the craziest one. But I like living card games that way. You know, you can feel like you and the other person, you know, usually when you get a set, you're ready to go. I mean, I know there are Magic sets that are ready to go, but you know, it's a set of cards. And with a lot of these sort of games, I don't feel as driven to buy all the expansions. We don't have any expansions for Android Netrunner. It's a fun game. And we should play it more, actually, now that it's out and I'm looking at it. I'm like, man, we need to play this game. I haven't felt like I've had to you know, get on the expansion track with it. The game has been out for a while. We have the original set. There was a revised set, a second edition of the set that came out. Last in 2017, and actually in 2018, and Wizards of the Coast has been ending some licensing stuff. So sometime this year, the game was discontinued because the licensing agreement between the two companies was canceled or ended. And I guess the cards and stuff, expansions and stuff, are going to stop in October. So, you know, I may run out and get some. But that being said, they'll probably just drop in price, and so I can get some for a steal. And because the game is still completely playable. Game is two-player. It's the original, and I actually didn't know this, was set in the Cyberpunk 2020 role-playing game universe, which is a role-playing game that I have. The game is basically, and the second one is set in a different universe. I think it's in the Android universe of Fantasy Flight. But the gist is the same. The rules of the games are very similar. There are a few differences. If you played Netrunner, Android Netrunner doesn't play quite the same, but it is very, very close. I've read the rule differences, and it is not a long list. You would have to review them, you know, if you were going to play this game and you were used to playing Netrunner. But so it's the two. There, it's a deck. You build decks. One player plays the corporations, the big bad guys that are trying to manipulate their agendas within the world and control the world, and the other player plays a hacker, a netrunner, who is hacking into the corporation's computer networks and trying to steal information on these agendas and publicize them, or, you know, show them off, steal them. So the corporation is playing out its agendas and its abilities and stuff into its deck, and it plays out ice. You know, we're going all the way back to Intrusion Countermeasures Electronics. We're going back to Neuromancer on this stuff. I think ice, I don't know if like Shockwave Runner or anything like that had, I think ice may be from Neuromancer. So the Corporation player is playing out program or servers that, and they may include these agendas that once they can score, and they have to use both in effect movement actions and money to advance an agenda enough to score it. And they can protect everything from their hand to their deck. So a runner can attack, can look at your hand. A runner can look at cards in the deck. They can steal agendas from your deck and score them themselves. They can attack various things that you're trying to do. And you play, so as the corporation, not only do you play these cards out, but then you play out defensive cards that are ice that a runner has to be able to hack through. As a runner, you build your hacking deck. You've got hardware, you've got ice breaking programs, you've got resources that give you additional abilities and such. And you use those resources to make runs on the corporation's computer systems. And then there's a mechanic for determining what happens. And, you know, your run may be ended. You might even be damaged. You might take meat damage. You might take net damage. And you can take sufficient damage for the, you know, for the runner to lose just from that. But otherwise you're trying to score and steal these agenda cards, and you're trying to score them, and the agenda cards have, a agenda value, and the first person to 7 points wins. Alternatively, if the runner is killed, they lose. And if the corporation player runs out of cards to play from their deck, they lose. There's a lot of bluffing in the game, because you've got various types of, you've got hidden cards, especially on the corporation side has hidden cards. Your ice, almost everything is laid down face down at first. Whereas the runner's cards are laid face up. Even in their discard pile, the corporation may have face down cards. So the corporation is, you know, has more information. Basically the only thing they don't know are cards in hand type stuff for the runner. You know, they know all the cards that the runner has played. Whereas the runner, until various programs are rezzed and made active, they will not know what those cards are unless they make a successful run or they play a resource that lets them look at cards or things like that. So, the corporation may, for example, there are various types of attack programs, and there are various types of, that the runner has, and there are various types of blocking programs that counter certain types of attack programs. And so the corporation may choose, you know, to protect their most valuable resource with a card that actually isn't a very good defense because they're relying, you know, they're bluffing. They may not have enough money for the correct or that, you know, most powerful defense, or they may only have one of them and they want to use it a little later, you know, something like that. So, you know, the corporation player is the bluffer. They're the person that is going in for the deception mode and trying to outguess and outbluff the runner character, and the runner is trying to determine, you know, what the corporation's really up to. It's a quick little game, doesn't take too long. Like I said, it only goes to 7 points. I mean, most cards don't have a lot of points, so you know, it takes a little. You do have to get several agenda cards, but still, it's specified 30 to 60 minutes. You know, we are not the quickest players, so yeah, we're often going to be closer to 60 than 30. But you know, especially if you're playing with people that are just like flip, 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 it's going to go pretty quick. Like I said, there are a number of expansions. I don't have them, so I don't know a lot about them. My guess, if it's like most of these games, expansions not only include new cards, but they include new mechanics as well. You know, there'll be new types of of icebreakers and new types of defensive cards and new things that just aren't in the base system at all. Because this is one of the many types of games that, you have a rule set, but then the cards themselves can break and modify any rule. So any rule in the actual rule book, can be overridden by a rule on a card. So, which means you just got to know the cards well, which is no. And, this doesn't have a huge number of cards. It's, a couple of decks worth. I don't have it in front of me. How many cards are in the original deck? I was looking at it looked like a large, slightly larger than a deck of cards, maybe 80 cards per side, something like that. I honestly didn't look, so I'm not sure, but let's see if I got anything here that would tell me quickly. Doesn't look like it, but anyway, there are, and obviously there are many, many expansion packs, so you'd have all the cards from that. So a person who likes that thing, likes having a large number of cards and building their own decks, you can start with a basic deck. Another addition in Android Netrunner was, rather than just having generic corporations and a generic runner, you've got factions within each side. So you've got actual named corporations within the corporation side, and you've got the criminal faction of hackers, and you've got different options. And when building a deck, there are faction cards within each side, and then there are neutral cards, just like in most deck building games. And when you're building a deck, you can build it from your faction cards, from the neutral cards, and then from a limited number of cards that are outside of your faction. Cards have a value called influence, and when you are adding cards to your deck that are not from your faction, they cost, in effect, influence. You can't go over a certain number of cards, a certain value of influence for your deck, so the certain value of cards that are not within your faction. So, and sometimes those are good ideas. Sometimes there are synergies, deliberately built into the game. There are synergies between two factions that if you're willing to spend the influence to get those cards from that faction into your deck, you're going to be able to do something interesting. So, so deck building is also a fun thing. We have mostly played with fairly generic decks. The easiest way to play is just take your faction and take all the neutral cards, or take a faction, pick a faction, and take all the neutral cards, and you've got a valid deck. There is, tournament play and all that stuff for Android Netrunner. I don't know how big it is. And I don't know if it's, it may very well be, heading downhill, as it were, since, everyone knows the game is basically it is out of print at this point, and even the expansions are about to be out of print. But I don't know. It might be. I've certainly seen Android Netrunner posters at game stores, for, talking about tournaments and stuff. So I don't know how big it is, but I expect it'll probably be around for a while. And like I said, the game's going to be playable forever. I've got plenty of games that are out of print that I play. And this is a fun one. It's fun. It's quick. It's pretty easy to learn. Even the card-based rules are not that complicated for the most part. You do have the advantage of you're not having to worry about somebody showing up. Especially, if you're playing with the starter set, for example, every card that's in it. You're not going to have to worry about somebody showing up with cards you've never even seen before, because it's not a collectible game where, there are random cards. They're just expansions. So, that's it. I definitely consider Android Netrunner a fun and worthwhile game. It's fairly big box, which is not it's pretty your standard kind of Euro game size box, which it doesn't need to be, because it's basically card decks and chips for money and stuff like that. You can shove it into a smaller pack if you want to. I like the artwork and stuff on the box, so it's pretty cool. But it's easy to carry around, might even be something that we might take to Dragon Con. You never know. So this has been Kenzoid's Autonomous Zone. You can find me, Ken, at kenzoid.com. That's kenzoid.com. My email address is kkennedy@kenzoid.com. And You can find all my other social networking connections and such at that site. This podcast is Creative License, Attribution, Share Alike, version 3.0 unported, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.